The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'The one who is coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' From his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace, because while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him." The Gospel of the Lord. The gospel that we hear today for this Mass may not be the gospel that we expected. May have thought we would hear about Mary and Joseph and their travels and travails and the manger and the rest, but I think a picture is worth a thousand words, and we have the picture in front of us today. And I encourage you, as you're coming up today to receive communion, certainly if you're on that side, and also after Mass, to take some time before the manger scene. And if you want to cool off because it gets a little hot in here when we have so many folks in here, then there's one outside as well. And you can see there, you can reflect on the scene for yourself. And I think it's important for us to take that task on ourselves, to find ourselves in front of the baby Jesus, and to see that scene again and have it penetrate our hearts, have it stir us to love. Because in the end, no matter if we see this scene, the manger and the rest, or we have this gospel from the great gospel in the beginning of the Gospel of John, the whole point is love. The whole point, through and through. And so our hearts, we pray, be touched today by Jesus, who has been born to us. My friends, there's too much to be said about Christmas. It's an impossible feat to preach this feast. And so I will limit my comments to just a few. I think one is this, that we have to hold together two, say, posts or pillars, two theological posts or pillars, two thoughts that we have to hold in our heads today. One is this, that the gift of God being born to us is a gift unmerited. It is perfectly gratuitous on God's part that he would come to dwell among us. It's something that even boggles the mind. How is it, God, that you could do such a thing? Why is it, God, that you would do such a thing? The creator of all things, who by his word breathed existence itself to life. The entirety of his creation, as expansive as we now know that to be, has become a baby, vulnerable to his creation, bearing the burdens and suffering at the whims of man. Okay, this is the first. The act of God is gratuitous and boggles the mind in its being superfluous, even. The second is this. God becoming man fits like a glove. Fits like a glove. Because, my friends, this was always the plan. Okay, now do we get to see how crazy God is? How crazy he is. He who is good and perfect in himself, who freely creates everything that exists and freely creates man that he may share with him his own blessed life. That God had always planned to become man. And we see, my friends, we look around our day perhaps, we're likely to see that the world is not in terribly good shape. We can be optimistic, right? We can have hope because we know that Christ reigns, we know that God is good, we trust in his loving plan, and we know he will bring it to fruition, to fulfillment. But we can be troubled also by the state of the world. Things are not much different today than they were 2,000 years ago. Jesus was born in a far corner of the Roman Empire, the far outreaches. He himself suffered persecution. He was born on the run to impoverished parents. His people were oppressed by occupying forces, enslaved even. And yet precisely there, precisely in the mess of first century Palestine, God deigned to dwell. He entered the mess of Israel in order to raise it to new life. My friends, where are we today that God cannot enter? Where are we today that Jesus would not deign to dwell? No. Not only does he want to enter the messiness of our hearts and lives and world, he's eager to do so. Because that was always the plan. Today, he takes on humanity. And he says when he finds himself, when he allows himself to be placed in the feeding trough, in the manger, he says, "This is my body. This is my body, which will be given up for you." And he lives it his whole life through. This is my body, which will be given up for you. And he says it at the end, entrusting himself to God and giving himself to us. He now enters not the manger, but our feeding trough. He comes to us now under the appearances of bread and wine, having uttered those words again, "This is my body, which will be given up for you." But it's not enough for Jesus to be the bright light burning brightly in the darkness in first century Palestine. He brings that reality to us as our hearts are enkindled with his love, as we are made to receive his body and blood, and so become what we receive. We are made now, my friends, to make God's love flesh in and for his world. That his words, "This is my body, which will be given up for you," become ours. As we receive from God every good blessing and turn to revive his world with the love of God and enact the plan that he spoke from the beginning, that we may make those words our own. "This is my body, given up for everyone we encounter, whom we love to the end, whom we love through and through, whom we love with every fiber of our being." My friends, Merry Christmas. God is doing great things in our midst. He is doing great things in our hearts. He wants to do great things in our world. Let us entrust ourselves to him in prayer and live his life of offering service and self-sacrifice all the way to the end.